This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing on the theme of the Day of Judgment, He says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدْعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and on that day, Allah will say to the people who worshipped other than Allah, bring your partners that you thought were partners to me. Call them. Nadu shuraka'i. Call those who you took as partners to me. Alladhina za'amtum, whom you thought, that same, you know, mistaken notions. Fada'awhum, and they will call. They will call on those that they worship. فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ, and they will not respond. There will be no response. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will put between them a terrible barrier, which is Jahannam. And this barrier, some have said, is between the one who's calling and who's being called, which is the idols and everything that worshipped. And some have said that this is the barrier Allah puts between the disbelievers and the believers. The Jahannam is here. This is the separation of the people. وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ, and the criminals will see the fire. فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ وَاقِعُوهَا, and they will now know that they are certainly going to fall in it. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا, and they will find no escape from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from that and protect our progeny till the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow any of our offsprings till the Day of Judgment to go in a state of kufr or shirk or major disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا, and they will not find, it's in past tense, means certainly there will be nothing. Masrifa means escape, something that you can helps you avoid the Jahannam. So this is the scene. Now, interestingly, Allah ends with this masrifa. In the next ayah, He starts with the same root. Walaqad sarrafna masrifa sarrafna fi hadha al-Qur'an lin-nasi min kulli mathal. Same root sarrafa, but sarrafna means something that is repeated in many different ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed, sarrafna fi hadha al-Qur'an. In this Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented things in many different ways. Why? So that our thick skulls might be able to allow it to penetrate so that we can understand the reality. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Everything, every kind of parable, every answer to every problem of all of humanity, not just to believers, in this Qur'an, لِلنَّاسِ, for all of humanity. Okay? Everything. So, what Allah is saying in the Qur'an is a solution for everything you face in your life. Guidance for everything. It is there. This is what Allah swan. Now, we don't find it. Because our hearts, the receptor, the waves are there. The receptor isn't ready to receive it. Well, if I don't read the Quran, where am I going to find it? Second of all, when I face a problem, do I turn to the Quran? Or do I turn elsewhere? Do I turn to Google? Right? Allah is saying, answer to everything in the Quran for every human being is in the Quran for those who want to seek it, who purify themselves to be able to extract that. That the Quran speaks to them. This is not stories, you know, the two men of the, you know, the people of the cave. These are not stories. This is, everything should speak to my heart. When I face something like that, when I have two gardens, when I have wealth, this Quran should be speaking to me. This is your responsibility. This is what you need to do. So if it is not, if we are not extracting those lessons, if we are not interacting with the Quran, it is because our hearts are diseased and we are not ready. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. There's the problem. That indeed, mankind in general is the most argumentative. جِدَال. Arguing about everything. And this argument leads to a lot of problems. All the conflicts, the anger issues come from arguments. The divorces come from starting from the unit. Then the countries are arguing with each other, and civilizations are arguing, and the wars come as a result, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, telling us a characteristic of mankind is, وَكَانَ كَانَ الْإِنسَانَ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ. More than anything else, man is argumentative, Allah is saying. Angels don't argue. Okay. Man is always argumentative. And to what degree? There is a narration. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was night time, he went to visit, and if you've been to Medina, the house of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anhu and Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajhu, was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's like from here to that room. So in the night he goes to them and he finds them sleeping. Is there anything wrong with that? No. So he says to them, you're sleeping? You're not praying? Now you're a different standard for his daughter and son-in-law. Means it's nighttime, you should be up in Qiyamul Layl, you should be in Tahajjud. Right? He said, you're sleeping? So Sayyidina Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, our souls are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wants, he'll send the souls back to us. Did he say the right thing?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a fact. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he started walking away. And Sayyidina Ali says he hit his own thigh, and said, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Man is always argumentative. So he took that as an argument that Ali radiallahu anhu should have said, yeah, I'm sorry, I fell asleep, I should be praying. But he said, oh, Allah has taken our souls. So, you know, this is telling us one level, but we have got bigger problems than that of not getting up of tahajjud, right? We have much greater problems than that. And we argue about different things. Does this mean thing? Does that? And we argue about meaningless things which will not affect our way of doing things, because what we need to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear. There's no mutashabe, there's no doubts about it. So we need to just take things seriously. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 55, I think we are running on schedule. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا. وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ, and what prevents mankind, أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ, when guidance comes, what prevents man from accepting it, believing, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ, and asking Allah for forgiveness. We all make mistakes. What keeps them? Illa. What keeps them? Illa, except أن تأتيهم سنة الأولين أو يأتيهم العذاب قبلا. It's their arrogance. They say, well, what happened to our ancestors? Let's see if that happens to us. Or they're waiting, like they used to challenge Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Makkan surah. You know, okay, if you say Allah will punish us, bring it on. Bring it on. And all nations before have done this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Huda, guidance has come to you. It's an opportunity. It's a blessing from Allah. It's Allah's give. Whatever you've done, ask for forgiveness. Yastaghfiru rabbuhum. Istighfar is so important. We should always be in istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is sinless, who is ma'asum, you said that I do istighfar to Allah 70 times, 100 times a day. He is doing istighfar. How much do we need to do? And istighfar removes every kind of difficulty. Every kind of, if you read in the Quran, there are ayahs in Surah Nuh about the benefits of what istighfar does. If you have famine, istighfar. If you're barren, can't have a child, istighfar. If you are poor with nothing, istighfar. Everything, istighfar has asking because you're removing those sins which are holding back Allah's blessings from you. Istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that we will not punish them, anta fihim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till you are with them, wahum yastaghfirun. Or if they are in istighfar, Allah's punishment will not come. So we can prevent Allah's punishment by being with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta fihim. He is not going to be with us. What does it mean? That if Allah looks on the earth, and He does, and He sees the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive, in your house, why would Allah send a punishment to that house? And He sees the residents of that house in istighfar. But if He sees households where there is not one single sunnah of Rasulullah, in other words, we have thrown him out of our house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are asking for Allah's adab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying nothing prevents them other than that obstinate arrogance that, okay, we'll see. Do what, you know, bring what you promise. Or, Allah says, or the punishment of Allah is brought face to face before their own eyes. And some of the scholars have said that it was a reference to the Battle of Badr, because this was the Meccan surah, that they will see Allah's punishment. And most of these leaders, the real criminals among the Quraysh, were killed in that Battle of Badr, like Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shayba, Walid ibn Mughira, and all of the most of the major leaders were killed in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. And we have not sent messengers except as warners and givers of glad tidings, warning them of what might happen by disobeying and disbelieving, and giving glad tidings for the believers who do good deeds of what Allah has promised. So if you are saying, bring on to the messenger, bring on punishment, Allah said, we didn't send him to punish you. We sent him as a warner and as a giver of glad tidings. وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لَيُضْحِدُوا بِهِ الْحَقِّ. And the disbelievers, they argue with false arguments to poke holes into the truth, al-haq, which Allah has sent. They are trying to confuse people, argue against the truth using false arguments. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا. And they have taken my ayat. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses ayati, personal. My ayat. Ayat is the verses of the Quran and the signs that Allah has created. There are two books, the book in the universe, the signs, and the book which is the written book. The written and the apparent revealed open book of the universe. They have taken them and وَمَا أُنذِرُوا, what I have, the warnings I have sent, as huzuwa, as joke, as a mockery. As, oh, you promised fire? Fire in the heavens? We don't see any fire in the You talk about Day of Judgment, it's not going to happen. So they make a joke out of it. You know, out of everything. I always get this thing, oh, so you're working for the 72 virgins. Quiet, no problem. You're doing this. Or you think we are all going to, those polytheists, may Allah guide them. Oh, you think you are the only chosen ones? We are all going to be. We are, you know, everybody is going to be in good shape, whatever their concept of it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you take my warnings and my ayat as a joke and you make mockery of it. And sometimes, unfortunately, Muslims make mockery of Allah's descriptions of Jahannam and of Jannah, especially of Jannah. Okay, they don't take these things seriously. If we are making mockery of it, then you know, we have to be prepared for the consequences. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. And who, this is a rhetorical question, and who does greater wrong or greater injustice than one who is reminded of the ayat of his Lord, ayat Rabbi, reminded of this, fa'arada anha, and he turns his back. In other words, he ignores it. I don't believe in it. That's the ultimate, or doesn't say, I don't believe, just turns their back to it. In other words, does not follow through on what that ayah is telling us to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and who does a greater wrong than one who is reminded? Dhukkira. There is another reminder, that one of the reminders to believe in Allah is because our souls made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were first created. Alastu bi rabbikum qalu bala shahidna. Allah is, we are reminded of that you made a covenant to worship Allah alone, and now you have turned around. And our covenant, when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that we will worship you alone and lead our lives according to Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when we turn our backs on that, it's the same thing. Allah is saying, who is doing a greater wrong? And who is this dhulm being done on? Not Allah? Oh, on ourselves. Because the consequences are for us. Okay. Then another important thing. وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. And this person forgot what he has sent forward with his hands. In other words, the deeds. So not only does he turn back, but he has forgotten all the sins that he has done. Nasiya, forgot. Nasiya, insan, come from the same root. Insan is forgetful. That how many sins we have committed in our lives that we have forgotten about, and that we will see in that book that we were just heard about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he forgot what he has sent, what he is going to see, and he is just arrogantly going about life. So, one of the blessings, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone and wants khair for him, Allah reminds that person of his sinful or her sinful deeds that they have done. Why? So that you can do tawbah and ask Allah's forgiveness and be reminded never to do that again. So this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes when you're standing in Arafah, Wallahi al-Azim, innahu al-haq, something will come to you which you hadn't thought in 40 years and suddenly it came. That's Allah reminding you, standing in Arafah, you forgot that thing that you have not asked tawbah for. Do it now. Sometimes these things come. Sometimes you're thinking, some bad thought comes of something that you have done before. It's not just, I'm entertaining. No, I'm not entertaining bad thoughts, inshallah. Allah is reshuffling those memory so that files so that we can ask and do istighfar. So, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of our saintly scholars from the earliest generations, he stressed the most important thing for a person to make any progress. He says, ma'arafatun nafs, to know your own self. Know your own self is not like that, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm 6 feet tall and 175 pounds, only muscle, 1% fat, and I can bench press 300. That's not knowing yourself. Or I have an IQ of 168. Knowing yourself means, what sins have I committed? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you look in your and you find something good that you have done, say Alhamdulillah. And for everything bad you have done, ask for. Acknowledge and ask for istighfar. And blame yourself. He says, and if you find wajidu ghayra dhalik, means he didn't even say if you've done bad. In his nice way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you find other than good, then blame yourself. And blame yourself that I did it and ask Allah for forgiveness. Now, what is the normal thing happens to us in our society? When something good happens, who do we give the credit to? Us. When something bad happens, who do we blame? Complete opposite. This is how we need to. It's not good enough to, we need to reset these things, We need to reset these things. And there's another saintly scholar by the name of Sari As-Saqati, who was the Mamu, the maternal uncle of Al-Junayd Baghdadi, the great saint of Islam. So Sariya Sakati was his Mamu, his maternal uncle, as well as his teacher of Junayd al-Baghdadi. And in one of his saying related to this, he said, there is nothing more destructive to good deeds, nothing that causes more corruption of the hearts and is quicker in destroying a servant and perpetuating harms to others and closer to being hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and causes a person to be stuck with, you know, ujb, this arrogance and ostentation and showing off and thinking highly of yourself, narcissism, all of that, and the love for leadership, then he said, قِلَّتِ مَا مَعْرِفُ الشَّخْصِ بِذُنُوبِهِ, that a person is not acquainted with his own sins. قِلَّة, very little acquaintance with them, rather than being fully acquainted with the sins that you have done. He said, this is the single thing that leads to all of those things. Because when you don't think you are, then you think you are great. You think, you know, you become arrogant and I am this and I am that. And that leads to many of those things. And it destroys good deeds and it corrupts the heart. And therefore the heart never get fixed because I think who I am. So we should do the opposite. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ, we should never forget, we should do the all opposite. Ask Allah, Ya Allah, remind me of the sins I have committed so that I may seek your forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when people do this, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِنْ ذُكْ, they are reminded, they turn their back. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا, this is the consequence. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا, that Allah says, we have made a veil over their hearts and we've made their ears deaf. What does it mean? They hear good things? No, it makes no impact. Their hearts are presented with all the evidence. They do not accept because there is a veil. It does not allow that. وَإِن تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا, and if you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call them to guidance, Allah says they will never be guided. Now somebody might say, well, if Allah has sealed the heart, then what's my choice? Well, this seal is a consequence of the choices you made of rejecting the truth. When you were reminded, you turned away from the truth. So Allah's law of cause and effect takes effect. That was what you did. This is the effect. So some of the people, this is where some of the people in the Aqidah went astray. They said, well, there's a group called the Qadiriyya who said that we can do whatever we want. And there's a group called the Jabriyya that we have no control. Allah has sealed our hearts. We can do nothing. But the truth lies somewhere in between, that you don't have complete. It's all what Allah allows you to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made laws. He has given us guidance. He says, if you do this, this is going to be the consequence. Okay. So the choices we make match up with the qadr that Allah has destined for us. Okay. But ultimately, we have limited choices. That's why we are going to be judged. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now said, they will never be guided. Now look at the next ayah. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ, and your Lord is the ever-forgiving, full of mercy. He said, they will never be guided, and yet Allah leaves the door open. Just in case, he says, well, nothing. Allah says, وَرَبُّكَ, he's telling the Prophet, and your Lord is الْغَفُورُ, he forgives. He is merciful, ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ, the owner of rahmah. لَوْ يُؤَخِذُهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ, if Allah were to take them to task for what they do, لَعَجَّلَ, he would have hurried for them their adab. He would immediately punish them. You know, the first time the fly sits, you swat it right there. Allah could have done that. So the fact that he didn't do that is part of his rahmah. He is giving even those chance, people who are rejecting continuously, chance to believe, to turn back. بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْعِلًا. No, but for them there is an appointed time. Allah says, for them there is an appointed time that Allah has given. That time, لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ مَوْعِلًا. And they will never find any refuge at that time. So this is the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of people persisting, the atheists, the rejectionists, the enemies of Islam, the wisdom of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, is he gives time till that appointed time. Even if a person turns around on the last day, he is saved. Now look what happened. We have the story from the Seerah, Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh. He wasn't killed in the Battle of Badr because he was taking the caravan. He fought against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Uhud and Khandaq. He came as the leader and he continued to all of that, and Allah still gave him time. Remember his wife, Hind. What did she do? She had the beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu assassinated. She had so much hatred that he had him mutilated and chewed his liver. There was Ikrima, the son of Abu Jahl. There was Khalid bin Walid, the son of Walid bin Mughira. These were enemies of Islam, fought Rasulullah over and over again. If Allah wanted, he could have destroyed them. But he gave them time. And guess what happened in that time? All of them accepted Islam. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Hind radiallahu anha, Hind accepted Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a human level, when he entered Makkah, what did he say? When Abu Sufyan came to say, you know, what would happen? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? No punishment on you, no retaliation against you. Anyone who is in the Kaaba, in the Haram, is safe. Anyone who is in their homes is safe. And that would be enough. And anyone who is in the house of Abu Sufyan will be safe. He honored him. You see? Forgave everything. This is how Allah is. Ghafoor. Hind. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking for a fatwa. That my husband, Abu Sufyan, does not give me my rights, my financial rights. Can I take it from him? So Rasulullah sat with this woman who had done this and gave her a fatwa. Ikrima ibn Abu Jahl ran away. Many years later he came into Islam, and when he came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him and he said, I knew some good would come from Abu al-Hakam, which was Abu Jahl's name, because he used to be called Abu Hakam, the father of wisdom. He said, I knew some good would come from him, which is your son, which is Ikrima and Khalid bin Walid. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfira and his rahmah manifested in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how we have to be when people wrong us, to forgive them, to show mercy to them and move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left the door of forgiveness open till the end. Now, in the end doesn't mean wait till Fir'aun did. When he was drowning, that's when he said, I believe in the Rabb of Bani Israel of Musa. And he said, that's too late. It has to come before that. Till then, every door, this is Allah's mercy. وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those were the cities, the nations, أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ, whom we destroyed in the past, like the people of Ad and Thamud and people of Lut alayhi salam and Midian and all of those that we destroyed. لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا, when they did injustice and they reached the end of that. Nuh alayhi salam for 950 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have destroyed them with the flood in the beginning. No, he gave them 950 years to come to him. وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا. Allah says, and we have set a time for their destruction if they don't come around. So that's the ayah number 59. And next is the ayah that starts the story of Musa alayhi salam. So we are going to stop there. And let us take some lessons from what we have learned. First, we need to reset our values about the importance of this dunya compared to the akhirah. Number two, we need to look at our own. I need to look at what I have done. If I see some good that I am doing, I make sure that it is with ikhlas, with sincerity for Allah, and ask for His acceptance and thank Him for being able to do that. Okay. When I finish the salah, I should say, Ya Allah, thank you for the opportunity and the ability to do it. Okay. Because I could be prevented. If I'm being given an opportunity to do a charitable action, I thank Allah for the opportunity that you have given this to me to increase my wealth and my ability to earn good deeds. So we have to look at it in that way. And when we see anything, we should be prompt in asking any sin that is committed. In the past, we do tawbah. We do generic tawbah. Yeah, every sin, every major minor, everything that's done open and closed and secret, and forgive everything. But then as we remember each one, we should ask, Ya Allah, I did this on such and such time. This, forgive me for this. I did this, forgive me for this. And be sincere about it. Okay. And we learn that we need to have a repertoire of good deeds that we do regularly. It's not enough to know, okay, you know, if you do subhanallah, alhamdulillah, or you, first thing to do, make sure that we anchor ourselves with the 5 salawat of the day, okay? That we make sure that we pay our zakat, that we fast, if we do extra, then we are coming closer to Allah. So all of those, morning and evening dhikr, some of these, when you're traveling, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, 100 times, istighfar, many, many times, istighfar, very, very important. So that's another thing we learn. And that we should keep that day of judgment in front of us, that there is a book whose author is me, and I will read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, Iqra kitabak, read your book. He will say to us, each one will be said, read your book, what you wrote. And that I only want, inshallah, to find good in it. Okay. That we have erased everything, and Allah is awful, He erases everything. So that's another thing that we should keep in mind. To cleanse ourselves of any delusions about ourselves, that I'm so good and I'm this and I'm good and there are people worse than me. Yes, there are people worse than you, but there are many people better than you. So we need to look up to the people who are righteous, who are doing good deeds, and compete with them rather than rest on our laurels looking at people who are doing nothing. So I pray at least 3, he prays nothing. So, no. Okay. So those are things, and we need to look internally, and we need to be serious about these matters. It's not a matter of a Quran halaqa or a lesson, and you know, it was good and it wasn't good, or I got bored, it was too long. No, it's not about that. This is a serious matter. We need to take it seriously. How long did we go to become to medical school to become doctors? I mean, there are, you know, dime a dozen doctor here, including myself. How many years? Many times patients, doc, how long did it took you? He said, well, if you take college, if you take this, you take this, take that. How much effort have I spent for my akhirah? And if I haven't done it now, when 90% of my hair is white, when am I going to do it? When am I going to do it? Maybe 10% of my life is left. But that 10% can change the other mess, 90%. So we need to sit. You know, you need to have time to think. If you're constantly in front of a screen, if you're constantly on the phones, if you're constantly busy in halal things, forget about the haram things, then we still don't have time. We need to find time. Sit by ourselves, look at what is my situation, what is my status with Allah if He were to take me today. And it can happen just like that. Young and old. What would I be facing? What have my hands sent forward? What do I, you know, My greatest pride and possession is my phone. What is that phone going to do? Other than be evidence against me, 99% of the time. 99% of the time. So, need to take things seriously. And we need to have moderation. Nobody says don't earn a living, halal living. Yes, earn it properly, but balance in life. It shouldn't take our salah away. It shouldn't take our Jummah away. You know, our children shouldn't push us to do things that are haram. So I want to please, you know, my child will be. Teach the children the right things, the right value from. Don't wait till they grow up and then say, oh, my child is doing this. The tree needs to be fixed when the plant is just growing. Then you put a little stick to put it straight. Then it grows straight. Now when it's become rigid and bent this way, now you try and straighten it, you're going to snap it. So now if I say something, my child barks back at me. Too late. These are all responsibilities, amana that has been given to us. Our life is an amana, our wealth is an amana, our health is an amana, our time is an amana, our children are an amana, our eyes are an amana, everything. And Allah says in the Quran, and you will be asked about every one of your amana. What did you do with your eyes, with your ears, with your tongue, most importantly? What did you do with your children? You wanted children? I gave you children. What did you do with them? You wanted guidance? I gave you. Ihdina siratal mustaqim? I gave you guidance. What did you do with the guidance? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who turn our faces, tawajjuh, wajh, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we turn our faces towards Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us the right things to do and will protect us if we are sincere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the priority in our lives, His pleasure, His obedience, and the following of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is what Allah loves and is pleased with as our lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? I have an alternative lifestyle too. My alternative lifestyle is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the best alternative. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us sincere in seeking His pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us, our parents, our grandparents, all of our relatives that have preceded us to Him in the journey of Bani Adam back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us in a state of iman in doing the best of our deeds at that time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be generous and merciful to all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and our grandchildren and the progeny that's going to come from them, and make us among those who fulfilled the amana that was given to us, to our arwah, to our souls, and the amana of this deen. May we fulfill it in the way that's pleasing to Him, so that when we meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day where there is no shade on that level ground, that He will be pleased to see us, and we will see a smile on His face when He sees us, as opposed to those from whom He will turn His face away, as the hadith says. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.